You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our pastor, the Reverend Charles D. Twyman. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Take this opportunity to say something this morning. In Luke chapter 2 and beginning at verse 13, you'll find these words: "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." The message is, I'm dreaming of a right Christmas. I'm dreaming of a right Christmas. The song White Christmas was written in 1941 by Irving Berlin and made famous by Bing Crosby, as sold more than 1 million copies. The movie with the same title that came out in 1954 has come to be a standard of Christmas viewing along with some other movies. The song has been recorded by a host of singers, groups, and choirs. As a matter of fact, there are more songs written about Christmas than any other holiday. The song White Christmas brings to mind a time gone by where treetops glistened and children listened to hear sleigh bells in the snow. Amen. Most of us up north know more about that, and some people still long to see a white Christmas. We've come to associate it with fresh snow upon the streets, covering all the trash and the lawns and everything that's there. And to the song like that would best describe this holy time, like, oh, come all ye faithful, and joy to the world. Most seem to be singing Jingle Bells and I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Well, I'm dreaming of a right Christmas. So this message is kind of my personal protest against the materialism of this season and time, against how man has taken this holiday that should really be a holy day and have just messed it up and commercialized it so. In reality, Christmas to me is all wrong. I'm dreaming of a right Christmas. A right Christmas where Jesus Christ is glorified. Where we are like the shepherds and go forth and tell everyone about the Lord and that beautiful sight. You see, Christmas is right when it fulfills biblical prophecy, and that prophecy is expected accepted by personal faith. And indeed, this story didn't just happen. It was prophesied that a woman, a virgin, would born a child, and that he would be wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. All this came true on that eventful day. Christmas is right when we make room for Jesus, even when there was no room at the end for Jesus. We need to make room in our lives for the Lord. In the song Joy to the World, it says, let every heart prepare him room. Let heaven and nature sing. Amen. And that's exactly what we do, and we find that wise men came to see him. But we got that all wrong, because the wise men wasn't there at the nativity. They came some 2 years later. Amen. If you really know your Bible, you'll read that. They came looking for him, being led by a star. They were wise men, and still wise men seek him today. Amen. Christmas is right when we worship him and bring him our gifts. The wise men brought him gifts. Amen. They didn't exchange gifts. They didn't pull names. They brought them to Jesus. We don't know how many wise men it was. We just know about the three gifts. And because they brought the gold, the frankincense, and myrrh, we think it was perhaps just three wise men. But we don't give anything to the Lord, and it's his birthday. Oh, I know, we got to get some facts straight because we don't know exactly what day Jesus was born. We don't know if it was December 25th, and I have had that argument with some of my friends who are Jehovah's Witness, and I say, well, tell me what day he was born. They don't know either, amen. But we know he was born. So we've taken the 25th of December to celebrate his birth. We are never told to celebrate his birth or any other holiday for that matter. Jesus himself kept certain feast days and attended a wedding celebration at Cana. We're never told that it's wrong or inappropriate to indeed celebrate the birth of Christ. For we as Christians do celebrate his birth, his life, as well as his death and resurrection. When Jesus was born, the wise men did not attend that nativity. And I told you, if you read the Bible, you'll find out that they came some 2 years later and found him as a young child in a house. That's why Herod wanted to kill him. Christ came into a world as the perfect gift of God, for whom we have the gift of eternal life. When Christ left, he sent us the gift of the Holy Spirit. So he has always been giving to us. And yet we want to give to each other. Now don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be the Grinch that stole Christmas. I'm not trying to rain on your parade. I'm not trying to tell you to take all your decorations down and turn off the lights. I love Christmas decorations. I love Christmas. I love everything about Christmas. But something has happened to Christmas. Amen. And I ain't dreaming of the mess that's going on. I'm dreaming of a right Christmas. You see, Christmas has been taken, Christ has been taken out of Christmas. He's been replaced by Santa Claus and his elves. Amen. And a cash flow credit card, money using, making industry has taken its place. The commercialization and the marketing strategies of the Christmas, every commercial wants you to, they're having a sale somewhere. They want you to come and buy something. And it's usually something that you don't need with money you don't have. To impress people you don't even like, amen. And be truthful about it. Some people here haven't paid for last Christmas yet.
What you say?
Amen.
What you say?
I've always loved Christmas. I've loved the way my children have brought joy. I love seeing their faces on Christmas morning when they open up their gifts. But I told them a long time ago Santa Claus didn't exist. I told them that every good and perfect gift came from above, that Jesus paid for this, so everything you've got came from the Lord. But you know what? It didn't take anything away from their Christmas. We still hid the gifts until that morning, and very often they woke up when we were still putting stuff together. Amen. And came down, but they were still blessed. And didn't matter to them if Jesus brought it or Santa Claus, but I wanted to let them know what grace was about. Amen. Grace is when God gives you something you don't deserve. And sometimes the little rug rats and no-neck monster were so bad they didn't deserve nothing, but they got something anyhow. And you laughing, but that's the same thing God did for you. You don't deserve none of what God has given you, but he gave it to you anyway. That's what grace is. And that bothers me about Christmas because I believe Christmas is for our children. Bless the children. Give them the things that I know that you didn't have. I know what you tell them. All I got was a cardboard box. I played with that all day and for day to day. Go ahead and go and buy them for toys. Let them be happy. But that what gets me is these grown folk looking for something. Every kiss begin with K. Amen. 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 Y'all men need to say amen. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Amen. Amen. People got their hand out. People feel entitled. They deserve something for Jesus' birthday. Amen. exchange gifts. I remember I had a pastor's aide, and the reason I don't have one now, and the pastor's aide called me up and said, we want to come over to your house for Christmas Eve. And I thought that was a wonderful thing. And everybody came in, had a package all wrapped up, and I said, man, this is going to be a blessing. And we got down in my basement, and everybody, and then so forth. Then they started exchanging gifts. I said, hold up, what's this? Pastor said, we pull names. I said, you mean all of those are not for your pastor? Oh, no, we pull names. And this is for you. They gave me a universal remote control for my television. So we have no pastor's aide anymore. Amen. You hear me? They left out very happy over the gifts that they received. And I was appreciative to what I had, but just that I was thinking past that, thinking it was all for me. Amen. So I fell for the hype too, just like a lot of you falling for the hype, thinking that you got something coming, and usually you don't. And I know, don't get me wrong. Now that we're old and all the kids are gone, I don't put the Christmas tree up anymore. I don't hang the stockings on the fireplace anymore. But the grandchildren come by, and I love to see them light up when they open up the gifts as well. And that's a wonderful thing. To me, the gift giving and the joys of Christmas should be for children, and they should be blessed. If you've been asking God for wisdom, then you should know that this is not what you should get. You see, we get the best gifts from God. The fruits and the gifts of the Holy Spirit come from God. You see, money can buy what you want, but only God can give you what you need. Amen. And we need to be mindful of that. In our text, the fullness of time was now come when Jesus would send forth his son made of a woman and made under the law. And it was foretold that he would be born in Bethlehem. Now here we have the account of the time, the place, and the manner. In imperial order, Caesar Augustus, the first emperor of Rome, who reigned from 27 BC to 14 AD, Augustus had ordered a census of the Roman Empire, which should serve as a basis for taxation. As he was born in the stable, the Bible makes it plain. Some think that the word signifies it, it was translated manger, but the place where cattle were to stand and to feed was called the feeding trough. It was the manger. And the Bible said there was no room for him at the inn, and some believe that it was in a cave behind the inn where Jesus was laid in the manger upon the straw where the cattle was. Now the angels had already told the shepherds that they should go to Bethlehem, and there they would find him. And I often wondered why they were the first one to get the news, and when you really think about it, this was their kind of pink slip, because these were the shepherds that tended the temple sheep. And in 33 years, they wouldn't have no job no more, because the perfect Lamb of God would take the place of all of the sheep that would be slaughtered. Amen. He would came to be the Lamb of God that would be slain for us. It was God intended and God ordained that his only begotten Son should be born into the world in this humble manner. Lowly Prince of Peace. King of Kings. Lord of Lords, born in a stable, laid in a feeding trough, made for the animals to feed from, and yet he's still the bread that feeds our very souls. Yes, some things we need to understand. Jesus himself kept these festive days, and we should keep certain days, but we have to understand it's all about Jesus. Oh, we say that. We say that he is the reason for the season, but yet and still, we still decking the hall with balls of holly, and that's all right, if that's what you like to do. But what are you giving unto the Lord? Have you made room for Jesus?
Help us. Yes, sir.
Have you done that? Christ came to the world as the perfect gift of God. Came into this world, a perfect gift, and the perfect gift, and you can't make anything perfect better than it is, because it's already perfect. Christ was indeed perfect. It's a fact that Christmas was meant to be a festive celebration, the birth of Christ. As a matter of fact, in the 4th century, they began to celebrate Christmas on the 25th day of December. Now, since that time, a lot of stuff has creeped in. A not a pagan holiday, the Yule log, the Yule tree, and all those things, Roman customs and so forth that came in. But there's no harm in decorating the tree. I was arguing with a man the other day telling me, and we shouldn't have no trees in the church. I said, we got trees in the church all year round. Have you ever seen the artificial trees we have out in the atrium, the artificial trees we have in the parlor? I said, we have artificial flowers all over the church. There's nothing wrong with them. There's beauty in the flowers. They're not real trees. And besides that, ain't nobody worshiping no tree.
That's right, Pastor.
All right to decorate a tree. And in the Bible, when you read, and you read Jeremiah 10, 3 and 4, Isaiah 40, 18 and 20, it's talking about what the Canaanites did. They would actually bring a tree in and have it carved by the carpenter and put gold and silver upon it and make an idol out of it and bow down to it and honor it, and they would worship it. But ain't nobody worshiping no tree. Now let me catch y'all out here in the atrium bowing down around that tree. I'll chop it down, yes. No, that's not weird. It's something to look at. I love to see the lights blinking off and on. I love to go down the streets and see people decorating their houses with all the different color lights. I love that. I don't do that anymore, but I used to. Amen. Run up the light bill. Ain't no harm in you doing it, though. You want to run up your light bill. Believe me, DTE and S&E, they don't get theirs anyway, because they're going to give you a higher bill anyway, whether you had plugged in or not. Amen. Don't believe the hype, church. There's no harm in decorating it, man. There's no harm in doing these things. As a matter of fact, the evergreen is symbolic of the Christian life because it's green all the time.
Yes, sir.
No matter what the weather, no matter what the condition, no matter what the temperature, it's still green. And that tells us we're supposed to be the same all the time. The same way you are right now is how you're supposed to be on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You're supposed to be in worship mode, worshiping the Lord. You've come here to worship, but you don't have to just worship God on Sunday in the church. You worship God every day, all year round. That's the biggest hindrance why some people in your family and some of your friends do not come here or any church or don't want to be a Christian, because they don't see you acting any different than they are. Oh, you talk all that stuff. They see you with your big Bible and everything, but they still see other things that you do just like they do.
Amen.
They want to see something that's different.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
No, we don't worship trees. And
Mama.
Truthfully, a lot of us ain't even worshiping God.
Right.
Not in the right way.
Right.
You see, the right Christmas that I'm dreaming of is the right relationship with God and with family.
Help us, man.
Being thankful to God for sending his only begotten son to die for us.
Yeah.
And being thankful each and every day and every waking hour, commemorating his birth, because yes, he was born of a virgin, just as the Bible said. He came to us as a savior, and without spending any money, we don't have to go into debt to celebrate Jesus. Because we don't need a certain day. We celebrate him every day, all the time. Amen. Don't have to get into debt. And right Christmas is taking the opportunity to witness about Jesus Christ to anyone that will listen to you.
Yes, sir.
But people won't listen to you if you're not living right. The shepherd that night, they saw the Christ child. And the record there here in Luke 17, 2, 17 and 18, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. In other words, they began to witness to everyone what they had saw the Christ child laying in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. And to all of those that saw them, they began to wonder. And Jesus is indeed a wonder. So how are you celebrating Christmas? My friend, Jehovah's Witnesses, said, and we were working at the plant at the same time, and he said, it's a shame how you Baptists and you Christians worship this pagan holiday. And I said, well, how are you going to worship it? You're going to celebrate Christmas, aren't you? No. I said, we all getting off from work. You going to stay here and work? Oh, no, no. You don't want to celebrate. See, you stay here and work and don't get paid anything extra. Amen. But see, whether you go home and sleep all day or whether you deck the hall, whatever you do, you're still celebrating the fact that you ain't working and you're still getting paid. So you need to throw that mess out the window. You're going to celebrate it. Because anything he give you, you're going to take. Amen. He said, you can have 3 days off, 4 days off, 5 days off. You'll take that. Amen. What you do at that time is up to you. But I choose to keep on celebrating Jesus each and every day. That's the right Christmas that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm being in the right frame of mind to worship God all the time. That's the right Christmas. That's the one I'm dreaming of. Not one that's covered with snow, but a Christmas where a Christian will learn to celebrate Jesus, the Lord of glory. The Lord Jesus is not a baby in a manger anymore. He's not a character in a children's story. And the first time he came, he was veiled in the form of a child. When he comes back, and it may be soon, he will be abundantly clear to all who he is. Yes, sir, when he comes back, he left his life as a lamb slain at the slaughter. But when he comes back, he's coming as the Lion of Judah. The first time he came, a star mocked his arrival. But when he comes back, the whole heavens will roll up like a scroll. Stars will fall from their silver socket, and the sky himself will light up the sky. The first time he came, wise men brought him gifts. When he comes back, he's bringing gifts with him and reward for his own. You see, the first time when Jesus came, there was no room at the inn. But the next time when he come, the whole world was going to make room for Jesus, because the whole world can't contain his glory. I'm telling you, the first time he came, just a few attended his arrival. But the next time, every eye shall behold him. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and the valleys. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is born. But when he died for your sins and mine. For he came for that purpose, to die for me and to die for you. And dying he did. He died just enough for me. He took all of my sins, took all of your sins, and the sins of the whole wide world. He died upon that cross. They took him down and put him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there Friday and all day Saturday. But the record said it was early Sunday morning. He got up from the grave with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. I'm still dreaming of a right Christmas, because the one I see has become a nightmare. And I'm still dreaming of a right Christmas, when the saints of God will glorify his holy name and praise him forevermore. When the saints of God will witness to everybody about the goodness and the glory of Jesus Christ. I tell you, that's a right Christmas.
Yeah.
That's a right Christmas.
Come on, Simon.
I want my dream to become a reality. That the saints of God will worship the Lord.
Yeah.
And tell a dying world, you don't have to cut down the Christmas tree. You don't have to turn the lights off. You don't have to put the tinsel away. Amen. But just be a witness. And tell other people what the Lord has done for you. Quit being a closet Christian, hiding all the goodness of God has done for you. Let the world know that you're sold out to Jesus Christ. Please stand to your feet. The door to the church is open. That same Jesus that died for me. I believe it's coming soon. Get ready, church. The Lord is coming.
His house shall be blessed among me.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.